Hello and welcome to Ashes of the Imperium. My name is Dan and I'm joined by the wonderful Max. And today we are talking all about the brand new Chaos Space Marines Codex.
Exciting time, Dan.
It's a very exciting time. For many a reason, in fact. Not only do we like new codexes, and we should also say thank you for Games Workshop for sending us a preview sample so we can bring you this codex review episode, but it's also our 100th episode.
A Space Marine company of episodes, Dan.
A Space Marine company of episodes. I like that. Very on brand. Although very Astartes and doctrinal by the codex.
There's more than 100 Space Marines in a
Chaos in a ravening warband of heretic Astartes.
Absolutely. We don't, you know, these nice round numbers, they don't ascribe to that, do they?
No, but to be fair, I'm not sure the Astartes do either these days.
Well, no, true. In the era Indomitus, yeah.
Absolutely. I love the scene in sort of some of the early era Indomitus. I think it's in the Black Library book, kind of Dark Crusade or Dark Imperium or whatever. And Bobby G wakes up, Rabuta Gilliman, the Primarch of the Ultramarines, wakes up from his big sleep. And everyone's like, oh, yes, we've slavishly followed the Codex Astartes to the law. And he's like, no, they were kind of like guidelines. You guys didn't have to do that. And they were like, you mean what? And he's like, yeah, it was kind of recommendations. It wasn't, you know, legally binding.
Oh, dear me. Yes. Well, anyway, we are on a nice round 100 episodes, which is great, isn't it?
Yes, very exciting. It's been a journey. It has certainly been a journey. Yeah. So if you've been with us from the start, do let us know in the comments or slide into our DMs and let us know. Or if this is your first episode, let us know. So just let us know how, you know, what was your first Ashes of the Imperium episode? I'd be curious to know. But anyway, let's get back on track. We're talking about Chaos Space Marines today, Max. And Chaos Space Marines are certainly an army that I've dabbled in.
Yeah,
very briefly. But it's really your bag.
I think so. When I got back into the game in 8th edition, obviously I got the Dark Imperium box, and that gives you the start of a Death Guard army, right? So I played Death Guard quite a bit in 8th edition, and then replaced them with a Night Lord's force. So I've got a fairly sizable Night Lord's force on the go at the moment. I've been really lucky with codexes recently. I've had 3 of my 4 armies have had their book released, so this is kind of completing the set now. That's it. Every army I own has got their book.
3 of the 4. So you've had Custodes, Tau.
Recent releases, yeah. Like, the, you know, off the back, it's been Tau, Custodes, now Chaos. Obviously, Chaos. Space Marines came out last summer.
Oh, right. Oh, gotcha. And the 4th is Space Marines from right at the beginning.
Talking recent history.
Oh, so no more buying any Warhammer for you. That's it.
That's it. I've completed Warhammer. Yeah.
Well done, you.
Nothing else to do. But yeah, no, big Night Lord's force. Very kind of Legion focused. Not many Ribblies in it. Inspired by the Aaron Dembski Bowden books very heavily. And that's, you know, Black Library is a dangerous thing, isn't it? Many an army has been bought off the back of a Black Library book, I think.
Oh, for sure. So talk us about your initial impressions of the Chaos Space Marines Codex, because, you know, we just discussed Codex Custodes and Tau there.
Yeah.
And we got very excited about Orcs, didn't we? Orcs was a great book. You felt less enthusiastic about Custodes.
Yes. And
let's
my sentiments have been reflected in the community. But yeah.
You weren't the only one, but fine. No. So talk to us about the impressions of the TSM book.
Okay, cool. In a summary, I would say very, very solid. There's 8 detachments, which is absolutely fantastic. Good range of options there. And of those 8 detachments, I can see with my particular army regularly playing 6 out of the 8, which is what you want from the book, right? You want choice, you want options, you want to play around with different rules, different strategies. And I think this book does that really, really well. It's not, well, I haven't seen any evidence of it being obnoxiously powerful yet. I'm sure people will find broken stuff, right? And it's not, you know, bottom tier like some recent releases. It's just a nice solid book with some fun rules, some really interesting detachments, and I think anyone with a Chaos army is going to get a lot out of it. They're going to have a lot of fun with it.
It's interesting they've got 8 detachments. This isn't something we've seen. I think that's the most detachments. How many did Space Marines have? 7,
possibly 8. I think we've possibly, I think we've asked ourselves this in a previous episode and had to look it up as well. So.
But 8 points of the Chaos Star.
Yeah, it's very themed, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think what's very interesting is obviously there's no Death God detachment, there's no World Eaters detachment, there's no, what's the other one? Thousand Suns detachment. Sure. But certainly there is no Emperor's Children detachment.
Yes. Which is very exciting, isn't it? Because, you know, Thousand Suns, Thousand Suns Death Guard, they've had a standalone book for quite a while, haven't they? A couple of editions. World Eaters recently, at the end of 9th, got their own kind of thing. But yes, Emperor's Children supplement / codex on the horizon is something to get really excited about. Imagine what those new Emperor's Children sculpts are going to look like.
They're going to be phenomenal. They are going to be phenomenal. And the book does say, you know, if you want to take Rubric Marines in your army, you can, you know, refer to the Thousand Suns rules. And it does actually say refer to the Emperor's Children's rules, which is interesting because we know that there's going to be an Emperor's Children supplement in a future White Dwarf or maybe current White Dwarf. I can't remember. I do subscribe to White Dwarf, but they tend to arrive. I open them, kind of look at some pictures and never get around to reading them. But, you know, so they're just kind of slowly just building up on my bedside table as bedtime reading that I never get around to. But yeah, so it's kind of referred to there as the Emperor's Children's Rules, whether that's the supplement or the codex. It's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so 8 detachments reflecting the 8 points of the Chaos Star. And I think the fact that we've got so many detachments is a great example of how varied Chaos Space Marines are as a kind of a broad concept. You know, they're not just siege experts, you know, they're not just raiders, they're not just stealth experts, whatever. There's so much you can do with a Chaos Army, isn't there?
I would say more so than a standard loyalist force as well. You know, Space Marines are a great kind of Swiss Army knife, aren't they? You can do vehicle heavy shooty lists and punchy lists and fast lists and elite lists, and you've got the lot, but Chaos can do all of that plus gribbly monsters and demons and you know, there's like an additional element to what is already a very varied roster of units. Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest draws for me for the army. And, you know, even though I've gone down quite a specific theme with the force that I have at the moment, I can very easily pivot and expand that collection and you know, do massively different types of list, types of army, types of collection. Which is a real kind of, tick in the box for Chaos for me.
For sure. And I think that variety is something that hobbyists will really appreciate because, as you say, you can kind of pick a niche and stick to it, or you can pick a niche and then expand it. So I was talking to someone on WhatsApp the other day on like a Warhammer WhatsApp group, and they were saying, I'm really interested in Chaos, but I don't really like the aesthetic. I don't like that kind of Baroque armor, spikes and skulls and stuff. And I just suggested, but I want to use Primaris models because I like the clean aesthetic or something. And I said, well, just buy all the Primaris models, get some Forge World Alpha Legion heads or something, and just run an Alpha Legion army and use the Chaos rules and have it very kind of clean cut. You can do that. Or you can go, you know, really, really hard into it and kit bash it with maybe like some of the Death Guard models and just kind of have a very, not necessarily a Death Guard army, but like a very kind of Mark of Nurgle themed Chaos army.
Yeah, like a Nurgle warband, you know, the Purge or something.
Honestly, one of the best bits of Chaos sort of narrative world building for me was the Black Legion Codex supplement. I want to say like 6th edition or something like that. And it had all these kind of, you know, this is what Plague Marines look like in the Black Legion. This is what, and I think it was like the Eyes of Abaddon were the Zeench ones, and they were just Thousand Suns. They were just Rubric Marines, but they were black and gold instead of blue and gold. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. I love seeing, one of the things that really gets me excited is seeing things that are normally painted one color painted in another color. So
like, easy to please.
Oh, I'm very easy. I just think it's just a color change. Just color change, you know.
Yeah.
Like when people do a cosplay, they're like, oh, you're that character, but you're wearing blue instead of red. Yeah, so like there's a great, you know, the Elysian drop troops, when they're painted in like a really like classic Cadian scheme, I think it just makes them look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you can then tie them in with the army if you've got Cadians.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think of the book, Dan? Do you kind of share my thoughts?
Yeah, so I overall really liked it.
Yeah.
The kind of lore, the narrative around Chaos is really interesting. And, you know, we are going to kind of gloss over it slightly in this episode because there is just so much to talk about. And, you know, maybe we'll do a slightly more narrative, deeper dive in some of the aspects of the lore. But I think they're a really compelling force. I think they're a really compelling section of the lore. They are, you know, Chaos is the big bad overall, isn't it? It's the, you know, the Horus Heresy started because of Chaos, because of the arguably the hubris of mankind as well. But I overall think it's a good vibe. And I think that the detachment variety that we've got there offers something for everyone. The only thing that I was perhaps slightly frustrated is that when I started to build my army, I kind of wanted to, let's say, I basically built like a Renegade Guard army. Yeah. And I thought, oh, how cool it would be to do like a Renegade army, a Renegade Guard kind of tank army. So I sort of went to the Fellhammer Siege Host, which is the kind of Iron Warriors style thing. And the Iron Fortitude rule says each time a ranged attack targets a heretic starting unit from your army, if the strength characteristic of that attack is greater than the toughness, subtract one from the wound roll, which is all well and good, but it does say in brackets, excluding damned units. So I was like, oh, that's annoying that. This is very much an Iron Warriors detachment. It isn't like this is your armored Chaos Space Marine force. These are the Iron Warriors, so it doesn't affect cultists. And I just thought, that's a shame, because that's kind of slightly limited my list building potential.
Flexibility with restrictions, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, but then that's because I've picked a niche. You know, as is my way, I've picked a very, very niche and made an army out of it. Yeah, so, but overall, yeah, great book. Really interesting. In terms of narrative, what kind of, you mentioned there, you know, Aaron Dempsey Bowden's Night Lords books. Is there anything else sort of narratively that kind of drew you to the army?
Oh, goodness me. They have always been a favourite, because like you say, they are the, well, I mean, the galaxy is full of terrible, terrible things, right? But Chaos has always been the main protagonist, for me, in my eyes, anyway. I love the idea of the split and the schism in this, in you know, in the Imperium. I like the whole brothers fighting brothers storyline. I love the tragedy of the heresy. So all of those themes from a narrative perspective have always really caught me. And the more you look into the stories around Chaos and the traitor legions, you get further and further away from that mustache twirly cliche, right? They are the innately evil bad guys, but there's also a lot of humanity to them as well. And a lot of the struggles that they go through and the struggles that they've been through are sometimes quite relatable. And you can kind of see how they went down the path that they did. And that's very scary, you know. But for someone who's has had their personal demons in the past, it's really interesting to see, all right, well, what is the completely over the top, extreme end of that spectrum in a kind of fantasy sci-fi setting? There's a lot of themes in Chaos that really kind of chime with me.
Yeah, it is ultimately the flaws of humanity that create the Chaos demons, isn't it? It's the sins, it's the jealousy, the lust, it's all the kind of seven deadly sins and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. It's a very human story, despite being about superhuman, you know, warforged soldiers and you know, otherworldly gods. It is still ultimately a very human story, and as you say, very relatable. And you know, I'm sure there's lots of people out there that have struggled with, you know, all sorts of different things in their lives. And whether it's, you know, one of my favorite stories is Magnus. You know, there's a thousand sons. We're going to do some spoilers of the Horus Heresy, so if you're not read up, then you're fair warned. But when he tries to warn the Emperor of Horus's betrayal through using the war, despite the fact that Abaddon has basically said, you know, this is post the Council of Nicaea, you know, the Librarius has been disbanded, the Emperor has explicitly forbidden Magnus from using the warp. But Magnus is like, oh, but like, I have to, because Horus is the betrayal, you know, and he uses the warp, and in doing so destroys so much of the Emperor's work to kind of secure, is it the webway?
Underneath the
Palace of Terror. And ultimately then he sends the Space Wolves to, you know, allegedly kind of reprimand him or summon him to bring him back to Terror, and that effectively starts that, you know, that element of the Civil War.
Isn't it?
And I'm sure we've all in our lives tried to do something with good intentions and have it backfire, or have someone perceive our actions in a very different light and kind of want to be like, no, I didn't mean it like that. And it almost doesn't matter. You know, that it's almost like a parental thing, you know, the Emperor's Magnus. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter what you meant. It's the results of your actions that do matter. And that's relatable. That's super, super, super relatable. And that's not even that kind of, you know, dark and deep, is it? That's just we've done something, we've all made mistakes in the past, but like, as you say, you know, there's a character in 40K for anything that you've gone through. And I suppose that's the beauty of good narrative, isn't it?
I agree. I think we should do an episode in the future on the heresy, because there's so much that we could cover. But you know, even Horus himself, right? His downfall was because someone that he loved and respected, he felt shunned by them and abandoned by them, and those vulnerabilities let in the dark thoughts and made him more susceptible to the downfall and stuff. And then he was until the lodge on Davin, he was trying to do the right thing, right? Like, he was doing his best in the face of feeling abandoned. And yeah, they're a really interesting force, I think, and to see what they become in the year 40,000, it's quite the downfall.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. Let's do some kind of heresy narrative deep dives. And actually that will coincide as well with the release of our kind of Horus Heresy Age of Darkness episode that I recorded with Quipster from Instagram. We kind of spoke about the differences between 40K and 30K and what it's like as a game and why 40K players might enjoy it and some of the differences. So that'll be a nice little tie-in. So that's probably going to be the next episode. But we wanted to get this one out as our 100th one and B, in time for the Chaos release.
So before we look at some of the rules and the detachments and things, how about some of the more recent lore for Chaos? Have you enjoyed how they've advanced the story with Abaddon and the, you know, the Black Crusade, the 13th Black Crusade, and the ultimate conclusion of that? And then I guess the next big narrative arc has been the Arcs of Omen, hasn't it? Which I know that you've covered on the podcast before, but do you enjoy those two? Do you think they're good additions to the narrative?
Yeah, I think the advancement of the clock, you know, it's always been at like 2 minutes to midnight, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. The advancements of that clock to be like, oh, actually, no, it's 5 past midnight. You know, the opening of the Great Rift, the Circatrix Maledictum, you know, the destruction of the planet Cadia, hashtag Cadia stands. And that was phenomenal. You know, the end of 7th edition, the transition to 8th edition. I think narratively, it was really cool to see that story advance and the new lore be introduced. And that's when we saw, you know, the introduction of the Primaris Space Marines. And, you know, if you ignore the kind of naysayers that are stuck in the past and don't necessarily embrace change, the less said about that, the better these days. But I think that changing of the lore and the development of the lore being so significant also coincided with some fairly significant changes to the game. You know, 8th edition was a very, very different version of the game, whereas like 6th, 7th, sort of 5th, 6th, and 7th were just kind of iterative developments of the same game. And then on to Dark Omens. Dark Omen is a very, very good Warhammer game.
No, I'd agree with that. I love the fact that the galaxy's been cut in half. And you have the Imperium Sanctus and the Imperium Nihilus. And then added onto that in 8th edition, we got the whole Vigilus arc. And this idea of a stable corridor between the Dark Imperium and the Safe Imperium, I think is really good. There's those two Vigilus books. There's so much like narrative potential for such a major kind of like choke point in this war, right? So really, really good additions. I like what it did to Abaddon's character as well. It turned him from a bit of a meme, you know, harmless Abaddon, like how many times is he going to try and fail all his Black Crusades, to turn each one into a success and a piece in the puzzle that ultimately led up to the grand success of the 13th Black Crusade, I think really adds a lot to his character and the seriousness of the threat that he represents in the story, which is just brilliant because he's such a good character. You know, away from the cliches, he's really interesting. You know, read the Black Legion books if you've not. I really recommend those. You get a much a deeper look into who Abaddon is. And then, you know, with the Arcs of Omen, which sort of started as an arc in 9th edition, introduced Vashtor. Again, it's kind of ramping up the threat that Abaddon represents. I don't think it is as cohesive a story arc as the whole 13th Black Crusade and the Cicatrix Maledictum, but I still enjoy it as I think there's some really good narrative moments within that. It, you know, obviously it was a vehicle to sell rules and that kind of thing, so it does kind of tick every faction in quite a mechanical way as the story moves through. But I think Vashtor and his ambitions are a really good addition to the story. I like the way that Abaddon again has rallied very disparate forces of chaos through the, you know, through gifting them the Arcs of Omen, these space hulks that Vashtor's like souped up. The way that the threat is spread across the galaxy, and you know, it's another kind of like all comers threat. It's not just the Black Legion anymore. He's roped in everybody. And you know, the ultimate end of that arc with Vashtor turning the ruins of Caliban into the demon planet Wormwood, and you know, Vashtor's now got this, I can't remember what they called it exactly, but something engine that he can basically like tunnel through the webway with and pop up anywhere he needs to. It's, you know, I think he's been a really good addition. And
the Choral Engine.
The Choral Engine, it might have been that. Yeah, was that like a mini Astronomicon, wasn't it? Or something?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. But he's got his super mega planet now anyway, hasn't he? And he can pop up where he needs to, which we've seen he popped up in the Pariah Nexus in the narrative book that launched in 10th edition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, a little bit less convincing for me narratively than the 13th Black Crusade and the Cicatrix Maledictum arc, but still a decent addition to the lore, I think.
It certainly gives a, as you say, a vehicle for it to be like, on one end of the galaxy, oh look, Vashtor's here, and on the other end of the galaxy, oh look, Vashtor's here. And it does, it, you know, as you say, you have to kind of suspend your disbelief slightly, but hey, whatever, this is 40k. My favorite moment in the whole thing, and obviously we saw a number of amazing models come out, so we had Angron, the Lion, Vashtor himself, you know, definitely some cool things, and also sneaky. That was my least favorite book. That was my least favorite book, but it did have Snikrot. So
yes,
he didn't get an Arc of Omen book, but that was the same era. But when the Lion returns, honestly, I know I like gushed about it enthusiastically on the episode itself, but like when the Lion returns, that moment in the lore, in the narrative, is just so good.
Yeah,
it's a real, you know, and as someone that's kind of grown up with 40k since second edition, the return of a loyalist Primarch like that is just, it's such a moment. It's such an amazing moment. And, you know, and one day they're going to run out of Primarchs to bring back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I suspect they'll all come back eventually.
So
all the ones that can.
Chaos wise, do you reckon Fulgrim's next to get his 40k model?
100%. Yeah.
I think
like a demon prompt Fulgrim.
Yeah.
Because they've specifically said, you know, the resin forge world 30k model can't be used in 40k.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Specifically because obviously there's going to be a plastic one coming out.
Yeah, which is really, really something to look forward to.
Oh,
I'm not sure who the next loyalist one would be, but we're not here to talk about the loyalist today, are we?
We are not. Let's stick to the
service
of the War Master.
Yeah, but the Lion coming back was cool. He's multi-classed into Druid, hasn't he? He can zip around through the woods now, but it was a good moment in the book, for sure.
For sure, for sure, for sure. Right, let's talk rules, shall we?
Mm. Yeah, go on. So, which detachments really stood out for you?
So, I really liked the Soulforged War Pack,
mm-hmm.
because demon engines are cool, and you know, there's some really cool kind of models that you can build out of the box, but you can also do some interesting conversions as well. And if you're into 3D printing, clearly you can do that as well. There's lots of options there. Also, Pact Bound Zealots as well stood out. I know that's a kind of a rebrand of the Index one, but that's nice and flexible.
That's where you get your buffs based on the your dark, and we should say that the army rule is pretty similar. It's still dark pacts, so you can take a leadership test, and for that phase you get lethal hits or sustained hits on your weapons. There's been a slight change in the order of operations. So whereas in the Index you do your dark pact, you get the effect, you resolve those attacks, and then you take your leadership test and the resulting mortal wounds if you fail it. Now, the order of operations is you pick your effect, you do your leadership test before that is resolved. So there is the potential that, you know, you take your wounds and kill a model or kill a unit before the effects of a dark pact can be resolved, which is a slight change in the order of operation, but I don't think it harms the rule too much. Like, it's a very chaotic rule in itself, so, and you can just lean into it and have fun with it, I think.
For sure, for sure. So yeah, those are the ones that kind of caught my eye but weren't chosen. But the one that really caught my eye and that I invested in terms of this list building exercise that we do was the Chaos Cult.
I mean, you had a large collection of the Renegade models, didn't you, before? I know that you've collected the, or had in your pile, the Blackstone Fortress Renegade Guard before. So it's always been a theme that's interested you, right?
I have been looking for a way to use those Blackstone Fortress models since they came out. I mean, I don't know why I haven't just built a guard army and just used them, which is completely, completely feasible. But yeah. It just hasn't quite ticked the, you know, it hasn't quite been right. It hasn't quite been right. I'm actually going to a Heresy event where I plan on using them. So I am going to use them for that. But I did think, just for a little bit of fun, to write a list where I could use them. What, you know, once I've built them, because ultimately I think I'm going to use them for Heresy. I think it gives me the flexibility that I need using the Solar Orcs or Cult's Militia rules.
Yeah.
But I thought, yeah, cool. What a great way to, once that army's done, I can use it for 40k using these rules. The detachment rule is a rule called Desperate Devotion, and it says each time a damned unit from your army with Dark Pact ability is selected to make a normal or advanced move or declare a charge, it can make a Desperate Pact, and damned units are obviously like all the kind of cultisty type ones. Yeah. If it does, until the end of the phase, you add 2 to your movement and 2 to your charge rolls. So it makes the army quite mobile. It also makes the army quite combat-y, i.e. it's reliable to get into combat, but I don't really think you want this army to be in combat.
No. Are there any super strong melee damned units? Like the possessed count as damned? Or
so for me, it's the accursed cultists.
Accursed cultists, yeah, sure.
Who are the kind of spawn ones with the mutated cultists.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I think really stand out as something that could be used in combat. And I suppose Felgor Beastmen to an extent.
Yes, though because I've just looked, possessed are, they're demon. They're not damned.
No.
So those are your two options, aren't they, I guess? Yeah.
It also allows you to take Renegade Guards as battle line.
Okay.
Traitor Guardsmen, the unit's called. I don't think I took enough of them for it to be relevant. But you could definitely, you could spam that unit. I just don't think it's really worth spamming.
This sounds to me like one of those detachments that might not necessarily kill very much in a game, but will be really good at scoring. You'll have a lot of mobility. You'll have a lot of board presence. You'll be all over the objectives. You'll be getting all the second. You'll be getting secondaries here, there, and everywhere. Very similar to the kind of Crute Force that I'm building at the moment, it sounds like.
Yeah, and your objectives are how you win the game, really. The thing that frustrates me about the way they write rules these days is that because things like the Traitor Guardsmen and the Felgor Beastmen are effectively kill teams, you've got rules, you've got a 10-man Traitor Guardsmen squad that says up to 3 Traitor Guardsmen can each have their lance gun replaced with any of the following: grenade launcher, flamer, melter gun, plasma gun, or sniper rifle. But it says duplicates are not allowed. And that's because these boxes are kill team boxes, and you wouldn't have 3 flamers or 3 melter guns in a kill team. But
yeah, very prescriptive weapon loadouts now. Very
prescriptive.
What's in the box? Yeah,
it's what's in the box and nothing else.
Yeah,
and it's I get that they're trying to sell stuff out of the box that you don't have to. You'd be like, oh, I've bought a squad of Chaos Terminators, but I've only got 1 axe, so I want 10 of them with axes, and I've now got to buy a whole bunch of axes somewhere, or Etsy, or 3D print them. I can see what they're doing, obviously, but it just means that for something like this, where I'm like, okay, cool, I want to have a traitor guard army, it's just not really very sort of seamless.
Not very satisfying, is it? You can't build exactly what you want. Yeah,
no.
I see what you mean.
And also, I don't think the army actually works as like a traitor guard army, because you don't get things like heavy weapon squads and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think if you did want to just run a traitor guard army, you're better off just using the Astra Militarum rules.
Yeah, wait for the guards codex.
So what I did was exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure, who knows, maybe in the Astra Militarum book they might have a kind of cults and militia detachment.
That'd be amazing.
I don't think they will, because they don't sell the army as that, do they? You can't kind of buy that army. But here's hoping. So what I did instead is I base this army off the little 2-pager, on the inside of the first few pages of the book, the 2 pages that we always like to dissect. In this book, it's following a kind of a chaos, I don't know, like lord or legionary or, you know, sergeant or something, aspiring champion, whatever it might be. I don't think he's that high, actually. I don't think he's as high as a lord. But he is effectively assaulting an imperial shrine or cathedral or something. And I think it's held by Minotaurs, from the Minotaurs chapter. And it's just him, you know, leading a bunch of his warband and chaos cultists. And it's absolute carnage. And obviously, yeah, you know, they kill all the loyalists and hilarity ensues. But I kind of based this army off that. So I wanted a mix of cultists of all types, of damned units, but I also wanted it backed up with some Chaos Space Marines, because I don't think this army is any good if you just run damned.
No, it might be a struggle.
I don't think this list is really that good as well, but it is very thematic, and that's what I liked.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, go into a game with your opponent agreeing that you're going to run these lists, they're not going to be strong, they're going to be themed, and you can still have a great game. So
yeah, for sure. So, for sure. Yeah. So I'll run you through the list, and then I'll run you through the rules for the detachment. So the list is a Dark Apostle, and I'm going to do, you know, the characters and then followed by the unit they're attached to. So the Dark Apostle, and he's attached to a squad of accursed cultists. So that's 10 mutants and 6 torments, so i.e. 2 boxes worth. Mm-hmm. And then there's a traitor enforcer with his sort of pet ogren bodyguard, and he is attached to a squad of 10 guardsmen. And then I took another traitor enforcer with another ogren, and I attached him to another 10 traitorous guardsmen. So again, this is kind of, he's like the kind of commissary type guy that came in one of the Blackstone Fortress boxes, I think. And then I took a dark commune, who is the kind of like command squad type thing for the cultists, with the new cultist box that came out, I think, when Vashtor came out. I think that he was in that kind of drop. But he's with 20 cultists, and then a cultist firebrand, who's like a big guy with a kind of flamethrower staff thing. And he's, again, got 20 cultists with him.
Yeah, he got a real glow up. His rule's looking really good now.
Yeah, so he is really interesting. Let's have a look at him. So you can reroll leadership tests taken for the unit, which is brilliant, because you've got to take leadership tests for your Dark Pact and indeed your Desperate Pact. So in order to make a Desperate Pact, you first take a leadership test, and if you fail it, you suffer D3 mortal wounds. But if you pass it, you get the 2 to move, 2 to charge, as we said. It says if that test is failed, each time a unit makes a Desperate Pact, it must first take a leadership test. If that test is failed, that unit suffers D3 mortal wounds before any effects of that Desperate Pact are resolved.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you know, it can make a Desperate Pact if it does until the end of that phase. So you're going to get the rules anyway. You're going to get the buff automatically, but you might also suffer D3 mortal wounds.
Mm.
Now, bearing in mind the, you know, Felgor Beastman leadership 7, Traitor Guards leadership 7, Cultist Mob leadership 7, you know, that's not great.
No, you're going to be using that reroll quite.
You are. I mean, even the Cultist Firebrand leadership 6. Yeah. Leadership 6 up. So, yeah, I think that reroll comes in handy. So we can reroll leadership tests and cursed flames in your shooting phase after this model has shot. Select one enemy infantry hit by one or more of those attacks. Noted that it's only hit, it's not wounded. That unit must take a battle shock test, which is good because, you know, these guys have only got auto pistols and bolt pistols. So the cultist mobs have got a sticky objectives rule, effectively. So you can kind of use that speed to start moving through the battlefield, tagging your objectives, and you don't need to like babysit the objectives, which is cool.
Yeah, it's always a really useful ability.
For sure. And then I've got 2 squads of 10 Felgor Beastmen. And then that's the kind of end of like the infantry bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, led by the Dark Apostle. And then I went for a pair of Predator Destructors and a pair of Predator Annihilators and a pair of Vindicators.
Amazing. All the tanks.
Yeah. So that does come to 2,000 points. That comes to 1990. So what I did is I used a 10-point enhancement. That is Warped Foresight. So Warped Foresight is Dark Apostle or Damned Model only. The bearer has Scout's ability. So I thought of giving that to my Dark Apostle to help, you know, movement, help out the battlefield. Mm-hmm. I think having thought about it, what I would probably quite like to do is give him instead the Amulet of Tainted Vigor. So Dark Apostle model only, in your command phase, you can return up to D3 destroyed damned models to that bearer's unit. So I think that's better, but then I'm 20 points over. So it would be a case of kind of looking at it and being like, okay, cool. One of the Traitor Guardsman squads? So do I drop one of the Traitor Guardsman squads, which is 70 points, and take a cultist mob, which is 50 points, and that would save me the 20 points. So I think that's a better army, because this is a kind of narrative thing. I've just picked like circa 2,000 points, and you know, it was annoying me that I was like, but I want a pair of each vehicle. But basically, the intent is to have Predator Destructors and Predator Annihilators as Lehman Russ. So use Lehman Russ models, make sure they've got the right kind of, you know, sponsons on. And then Vindicators would be like a Lehman Russ Thunderer, which is like the kind of Stug, you know, gun type thing.
Yeah, brilliant. So really, you know, the whole thing is themed around the Guard. So but although exactly. you're using the Legion tank rules, they're dressed up as Guard vehicles. That's a really nice idea, actually. I like
that. Yeah. And I did think even the Mutants and Torments and the Dark Commune sort of command squad thing, I thought, okay, cool. Well, Mutants and Torments, I can use Beastmen as the Torments from, you know, the Blackstone Fortress Beastmen, who are just kind of like dudes with, you know, pistol and hand weapon. And then for the Mutants, rather. And then for the Torments, who are the bigger guys, I can use something like Chaos Ogrins.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
To sort of really keep kind of that kind of Renegade Guard theme. Yeah. And then for the Dark Commune Command Squad, I would just convert up a kind of Renegade Guard Command Squad. Because that's a really cool unit with a nice variety of things.
Yeah.
You can have a Cult Demagogue, who's like the leader, you know, platoon commander. You have a Mind Witch, who's just a kind of psychic guy. You have the Iconarch, who's a standard bearer. And then you have two Blessed Blades, who are kind of your bodyguard dudes.
Yeah, champions.
Champions. So you could very, very easily convert that up to be much less gribbly and much more kind of Renegade Guardy. And obviously the Blackstone Fortress rules come with those amazing Chaos Psyker models, which would make for a great Mind Witch. You know, Cult Demagogue, you could kind of convert up and yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, I'm sure there's some Gene Stealer cult models that you could use to
absolutely to make yeah really absolutely unique. a few head swaps on some new Cadians, few arm swaps as well,
exactly.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could really literally just take the Cadian command squad and just make it chaosy. But yeah, so you get it whilst this unit is leading a unit and contains a cult demagogue, you get a 5+ invulnerable in your command phase. You can add one to hit and had one to hit and one to wound when you charge, and you can also charge when it advances. You can reroll the Dark Pact ability for your leadership test. There's like this, you know, obviously because I've chosen all damned models apart from the tanks, everything works really well together. And you know, the Dark Apostle himself, he adds one to the wound roll for his unit. You can also, for, you know, it's a bit of a wasted roll. He also allows you to remove Battle Shock from a Heretic Astartes unit. I haven't really got any Heretic Astartes units, so it's kind of irrelevant.
I mean, you could do it to your tanks. Battle if it happened, tanks. If it came up.
Oh no! Wait a minute! No! Stop! That's Heretic Astartes, the keyword, faction keyword, isn't it? Okay, yeah, so that just applies. So I thought that was like Heretic Astartes, you know, like the actual Space Marine dudes, like legionary type dudes, but no, that works. Cool. And he's got a really cool rule. So at the start of the fight phase, if this unit contains one or more Dark Disciple models, i.e. the little kind of, you know, Watches in the Dark type thing that accompany him, you can select one of those, and one enemy unit within engagement range of this unit, you roll a d6. On a 2-5, you get a mortal wound, and on a 6, it's d3 mortal wounds. And then so, you know, he basically does two or 2d3 mortal wounds, depending on how well you roll over the course of a battle with these little bots for free, which is quite
mortal
different.
Wounds are always welcome.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. I don't think you're going to win you any games, but it might kind of tip the balance here or there.
It might be, yeah.
So let's just have a quick look at the stratagems. So there's one, Immortal Thralls, which is cool. If you are taking a more combined list with Heretic Astartes, it allows you to effectively kind of bodyguard with damned units, use them as bullet shields for a CP. That's cool. And then the rest of them really kind of all, the majority of them riff off the Desperate Pact thing. So they're all one CP. You can reroll hit rolls. If you don't fail the leadership test when you do Desperate Pact, you can also reroll wound rolls. You can do Infernal Sacrifice, which you definitely do D3 wounds. And in addition to failing D3 wounds if you fail your test, but you add one to the tax characteristic of your unit. You know, if you don't fail the test, you also add one to the strength as well. So it's definitely cool. Like, I can see these kind of units that are a bit trash being really buffed up with your CP whilst effectively taking damage.
It sounds like there's a nice range of additional buffs to the Desperate Packs on top of the buff that you already get with, you know, with the stratagem use. Flexibility to do it as well. So, you know, sometimes reroll hits can be much more powerful than wounds and vice versa. So That sounds like a good detachment.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun. So yeah, and I think because I'm going to be building this army for 30k anyway, it's almost like a free army for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm literally going to have these models. The only thing I'm going to sort of be slightly cautious of is the tanks. I might not end up having those exact tanks, but like if I've got to paint up a few tanks, or if I've got to drop, you know, if I've got to drop the tanks and take some more damned units and maybe a couple of Chaos Space Marine units instead, then like I'm going to have this army anyway. So it's just cool to have a way of using my Age of Darkness army in 40k.
You're tank painting master now anyway, Dan. So
well,
I'm sure you can whack out some fantastic looking tanks in no time.
I have become very, very good at painting things very, very quickly. I did another
necessity is the
I should yeah, absolutely. I should say that is I have become very, very good at painting things very, very quickly. Not I have become very, very good at painting things very, very well, very, very quickly.
I think the last few photo series in our Instagram show that quite well, don't they? It's been a couple of rapid projects, but made
I did
all
paint
the more impressive.
1,000 points in literally one day.
Mental.
Oh my God, it was mad. But yeah, anyway, enough about my army. Tell me about your army, Max.
Okay, cool. So obviously, owning a Night Lord's force already, I picked the detachment which is heavily themed towards Night Lords, which is called Dread Talons. And for their detachment rule, they get some Battleshock shenanigans, essentially. In the Battleshock step of your opponent's command phase, if that unit is below its starting strength and is within 12 inches of one of your units, Heretic Astartes units, it has to take a Battleshock test. So normally, obviously, Battleshock kicks in when you're below half strength. This is just if it's, you know, one wound missing from it and it's within range of your unit, it has to take the Battleshock test. And then each time an enemy unit within 12 from your army takes a Battleshock test, subtract one from the result. So you're forcing Battleshock tests more regularly than you would normally do so. And also you're subtracting one from the enemy's result as well. So, you know, a good kind of stress system rule that applies to your whole army if you build them right. The range on it is really good, 12 inches, because you're going to want to be up close with these units anyway. And Battleshock might seem like, oh, well, you know, I'd rather just have like reroll hits or something.
No, but I think Battleshock's, like, Battleshock's good.
When it comes
Battleshock's
up.
Battleshock's game winning.
Yeah, because it shuts down objective control. It means that the unit can't benefit from stratagems. It's really powerful. You know, more powerful than it looks at first glance, I think. So yeah, I've gone with that as a really nice detachment. In terms of the list, I've really kind of lent into the jump pack theme of Night Lords. So for one of my HQs, I've got a Chaos Lord with jump pack, and he's taken the enhancement Warp Fueled Thrusters.
Wow, say that 10 times quickly.
I know. So at the end of the opponent's turn, if his unit is not within engagement range, you can pick them up, put them in strategic reserves, and they can drop down in your movement phase. So, you know, really kind of good kind of tactical redeploy ability there, which I really like.
So here's a question on Chaos Lord with jump pack, with or without the warp-fueled thrusters. is there a model for him?
There is a new model, yes, just released.
Oh.
Yes.
Ooh.
Which I'm not the biggest fan of, but what
as
I
in
have...
It's released like now, it's on pre-order now, is it?
It's one of the new releases, yeah. That's right.
Cool.
So we've got a new Chaos Lord model.
Recognize him.
Yeah, and then a new jump pack Lord.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, were you tempted to take Harkon Worldclaimer?
He's got some really good rules. And in the lore, of course, he is a former Night Lord. He's a former Raptor Lord. I will definitely include him in some Night Lords-themed lists in the future. But in this particular one, I've just gone with the standard Lord because I wanted the free stratagem ability that the Chaos Lord gives you.
Yeah, makes sense. You could easily convert, you know, take a head swap and it suddenly just becomes a Raptor Lord
that's exactly it. My jump pack Lord model is a Harkon Worldclaimer with a head swap, and he's got two chainswords. Like that's
cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I've used him because I think his pose is really good. So continuing the HQs, I've got a Chaos Lord and Terminator armor, and I've given him the Eater of Dread enhancement. So that is at the start of a command phase, if he is on the battlefield, roll a d6, adding one to the result for each battle shocked enemy unit that is on the battlefield. On a 5+, you gain 1 CP.
That's good.
Anything that gives you more CP
is good
in this game is amazing, because they're so, you know, they're unicorn poop these days. They're really rare. So anything you can do to get more is brilliant. And there's some stratagems that you're going to want to use them on. Then for a bit of objective control, for a bit of backfield slash screening, I've got 3 mobs of cultists. Like we were talking about, sticky objectives, really important. 2 Chaos Predator Annihilators. So that's the anti-vehicle one. You get reroll damage roll of 1 against vehicles and monsters, which is nice. They are looking like they're still going to be really cheap again. I use them a lot in my lists at the moment. They're a really solid unit. I've actually got my Predators are painted up to look like hastily repainted Blood Angels Predators. So in the
kind of like looted Predators.
Exactly, yeah. In the Night Lords trilogy, one of the main protagonists is the Blood Angels, and the Covenant of Blood's warband, you know, the warband that it follows, they're constantly like scraping for equipment. So in my army, they've stolen a couple of tanks. And
that's very cool. That's very cool.
Then I've got here's a choice. I either go 2 Chaos Terminator squads of 5 with the Lord leading one of those for a bit more objective play, for a bit more kind of board control options, spread the threats out a bit, or I just consolidate that into one big 10 Terminator blob with the Lord leading them. And then obviously that's a bigger footprint, harder to deep strike. Possibly I might start it on the board if I did it in a blob of 10, but you get that really good stratagem efficiency because you can use the Chaos Lord's ability to trigger a stratagem for free, a battle tactic stratagem for free. And then obviously you're covering 10 Terminators then rather than 5.
I think thematically it looks cool to have them all in one squad.
Yeah.
It does become very Death Star-y. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if you are walking this squad, whether that then leaves you open to being kind of kited or kind of denied possibly. Flank, that kind of thing. So I think deep striking them would be cool. The only thing I don't like, and this is very minor, but I don't like that you've got a power armor lord leading a squad of 10 Terminators.
No, it's a Terminator Lord.
Terminator Lord.
Yeah, Terminator Lord. Yeah.
Cancel my last. Sign me up. Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, 10 Terminator Lord and 10 Terminators. Do it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you can trigger the stratagem, which is probably one of my favorites in the detachment, Pitiless Hunters.
Oh, yes. So this is so good.
Yeah. It's a battle tactic stratagem, so you can do it for free with your Chaos Lord. It targets, in the shooting phase, 1 Heretic Astartes infantry unit, so Terminators. Until the end of the phase, each time a model in your unit makes an attack that targets a unit that is battle shocked and or below half strength, you can reroll the hit roll and you can reroll the wound roll.
Yeah, not just reroll ones of either or both. No, it's the whole thing. All hits, all wounds. That's so good.
Yeah, and you can give Terminators combi weapons. So, you know, combi bolters for loads and loads of shots, like 40 shots if you're taking 10. Unless, you know, you put some Reaper autocannons in there, which you probably would because they're really good. Or you can give them combi weapons, so rapid fire 1 and devastating wounds on a 4+ against infantry. So that's a good 18 to 20 shots, rerolling hits, rerolling wounds if you're shooting into infantry, fishing for those 4+ to get the devastating wounds. That could potentially do a lot of damage, I think.
Yeah, I think like a whole squad with 8 combi weapons and 2 yep. Reaper autocannons would be really cool.
Layer on top of that, the fact you've done a Dark Pact, then you can start fishing for sustained hits as well. You know, you can reroll all your hits and fit, hunt for those 6s. A really nice kind of combo.
So just a quick check on the rules there. That's they've got anti-infantry 4+ and they've got dev wounds.
Yeah.
Which means that on a wound roll of 4+, you score a critical wound.
Yeah, and the devastating wound triggers.
Yeah. And what does devastating wounds do again?
It just, the damage of the weapon just goes straight through. No save.
And what does a critical wound do?
Auto success, basically.
Auto success. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. It's just a weird little combo of the two rules, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So anything that's like anti-something 4+ and has devastating wounds, is really powerful. Like, I think haywire cannons for Harlequins have anti-vehicle
for sure.
Four up and then devastating wounds, so they can do a load of damage to vehicles. You know, it's a really good combination. And obviously, if you're re-rolling wounds, then even better.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that.
Yes, so a nice sort of powerful blob of death there. And then to finish the list off, I've got all of the jump packs.
Of course, so, you have. So I have say, like this list so far, you're missing the key element of the list.
So I've got three units of 10 Raptors, so 30 Raptors in total, and two Melter guns in each of those, just for a bit of extra anti-tank. One of those would obviously be led by the Jump Pack Lord. Raptors are a decent melee unit, lots of attacks, you know, obviously very good speed. Layer in lethal hits or sustained hits with the Dark Pact just enhances them even more. But they also trigger battle shock tests, and they themselves have an inbuilt -1 to battle shock as well. So you're further debuffing the leadership tests that your opponent is taking for battle shock.
That's decent.
Yeah. And you know, nice big blobs of those to spread them around and get that benefit across as much of the board as I can. And then to finish the list, we've got two units of 10 Warp Talons. They can't have a leader attached to them. The Jump Pack Lord doesn't attach to Warp Talons, and I don't think Harkon does either.
No, so Harkon's
just Raptors, is it?
Raptors only.
Yeah. Same with the Jump Pack Lord, which is fine. Warp Talons are really good in melee.
Warp Talons are demonic, though, aren't they? So
they've been kind of possessed, yeah. That's right.
So it doesn't really make sense. Or it at least makes sense that that you can't attach like a normal dude.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I say a normal dude, you know, like a Chaos Lord.
Yeah, I'm all good with it. They're a really solid unit. Butt ton of attacks. Twin linked as well, so rerolling. Decent AP on them. They have the ability to pop up if they're out of engagement range. They can redeploy as well at the end of your opponent's movement phase. So similar to the enhancement that I got there, they can just do that naturally. So there you go. There's my list. Loads of speed, lots of board presence, lots of attacks, and a couple of tanks just to help out if something big and tough pops up on the board as well.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So run me through the list of units.
Okay. So Chaos Lord with Jump Pack.
Yep.
Chaos Lord and Terminator Armor.
Yep.
Cultist Mob times 3.
Yep.
2 Predator Annihilators.
Okay.
2/1 Terminator Squad, 5-man or 10-man. And then 3 units of Raptors and 2 units of Warp Talons.
Okay.
And that's 1970 points in total.
That's cool. I like it. I think for me, dropping the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was doing this army,
yeah,
I think I would be tempted to drop the tanks and take a Helldrake.
Ooh, nice, yeah.
I would also be tempted to take a Demon Prince with wings. You know me, I would just go into this theme hard. Like, anything without wings, get rid of
wings everywhere.
Yeah, like, have a full flying army. That's what I would like to see.
I've just started using the Demon Prince with wings, and he's a really fun unit. He would definitely, he'd definitely get in here as well at some point. The thing with this is I own all of this stuff, which is fun.
For sure.
It's something I can do straight away. I don't have a Helldrake.
No.
I might get one. The thought of painting all that gold scares me.
Oh my god, the trim.
As ever with Chaos. The gold trim is what.
Yeah, I can see why that bloke that I was talking to wants to do an Alpha Legion army with Primaris models. I'm like, yeah, buddy.
he's got the right idea, yeah. But a fun list, I think. Gonna give it. It's probably gonna be the first list I've run with when I try out the new book. So really excited for that.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. Do you know what? Why don't we revisit this list as a little kind of supplementary episode once you've got a few games in and be like, cool, you know, what are your thoughts on it? What would you tweak? How's it going? You know, are you going to drop your cultists, your tanks, your terminators, and take a Demon Prince with wings and a Helldrake? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, let's do some list crafting. Yeah, I'll give you an update. That's always good. And then just if we've got a little bit more time to talk rules, I think Veterans of the Long War as a detachment should get an honourable mention. Really exciting. Chaos get Oath of Moment, basically. So their detachment rule, Focus of Hatred, you can pick a unit in your command phase, you get reroll hits against that unit. So Chaos Oath of Moment. If you were going to build a list around this army, around this detachment, you know, you'd go Black Legion, Abaddon, lots of Terminators. There's an amazing enhancement in this, which is the Eager for Vengeance. So the bearer's unit can shoot and declare a charge in a turn in which it fell back. And while it does so, each time a model in that unit makes an attack that targets your focus of hatred, add one to the hit roll. And each time you select your focus of hatred of the targets of this unit's charge, add one to the charge roll. So really powerful buff for that. You know, here's the unit I want dead. It's going to be dead. I love that. And some really good stratagems in that detachment as well. I think my favorite is Black Crusade. So it's 1 CP. It's something you trigger in your movement phase for any infantry or mounted unit. And then it gives you the ability to shoot in a turn in which you advanced. And when they make those shots, bolt guns and combi bolters have the devastating wounds ability.
That's cool. In fact, it's advanced or fell back.
Yes.
As well. Yeah, so it's really, you know, very flexible. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Because, you know, especially sometimes when you're stuck in a combat that you don't want to be in, or you just like you've done your first round of charging, you haven't killed the unit, and it's like, well, I want to extract from this combat so that the rest of the army can shoot it. But then that unit that's extracted via the fallback rules, you know, for a CP, they're back in the fight.
Yes. The devastating wounds cap out at 6, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, for sure. But especially if you've got a unit that's kind of been damaged a bit through a combat,
you're probably
not going to do much more than 6.
Yeah. So this is what I mean about this book. Like, I am excited to run lists with Veterans of the Long War. I'm excited to run Dread Talons. There's a Raiders detachment that I would run for sure. There's the Iron Warriors one, which we've already discussed, which makes stuff tougher. Like, I could see myself doing loads of Havocs and my tanks. I've got lots of tanks. Like, you know, all of these detachments I will have a play around with. And that's exactly what I want from the book. Like, I've got so many options. I can really, like, you know, one of my favorite things is just sitting there, like, if I've got an idle moment, sitting there, theory crafting, making the lists, and just so many opportunities to do that with this book. So good job, I think. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And even there, just talking about the different detachments, the Soulforge Warpack's got a enhancement called Invigorated Mecha Tendrils, which is a Warpsmith model only, add 4 to the bearer's move. But of course, you know, your Warpsmith is on foot. So you're just thinking, oh, that's really cool. You can just convert him up to be like on, I don't know, like on Mecha Tendrils. Maybe you could
Octopusing.
Yeah, exactly. just some cool conversion opportunities present themselves. For me, what's really exciting about seeing this book with 8 detachments, and I checked the Space Marine Codex, it's 7 detachments, but obviously they get access to, you know, Blood Angels and Dark Angels.
Sure.
You know, 8 detachments is really, really cool. I just wish they'd do that for more armies.
I know. So look, I love the Tau book, but it's got 4 detachments.
How many is it?
4.
4, and one of them's a bit rubbish.
No, one of them's
Kroot.
Yeah,
that's right. We're not saying it's rubbish, but we are saying that if you're not into Kroot, then it's irrelevant.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's got 3 kind of like fishy Tau detachments.
Yeah. Like, 4, every detachment in the Tau book is really good. I've gone hard into Kroot, as you all know. I'm painting up hundreds of the buggers at the moment. But Stodie's book, it's got 2 detachments, effectively. Yes, wouldn't it be good if we saw more detachments in more of the books?
I'm really, really interested to see how they approach the Eldari book.
They can, they could do so much with that, couldn't they?
They could do so much. You could do like the big craft world. So Bealtan, Ulthway, Samhan,
Aletok. Yeah.
And
Iandan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 5. Okay, but what about maybe, say, like a Elder Pirates, you know, that kind of thing?
Exodites.
There you go. So an Exodite one and a Corsair one.
Yeah, so you know, much.
There's no Exodite models really yet. But that would be cool.
I wonder if they'd do like a Harlequin detachment in there as well.
Yeah, because Harlequins aren't their own thing anymore, are they?
No, they're not. They don't have their own index. They're kind of like rolled into the Eldari.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, there's at least, you know, I don't think they're going to do they might do a Corsair-y one because they do Corsairs as a kill team. I don't think they'll do Exodites because they don't make Exodite models currently.
As cool as it would be.
And unless they're going to drop, like, you know, 10th edition Elder Codex is going to be the Exodites, but I don't think it is.
No.
Given that they've still got some aspect warriors that need to redo in plastic. Yeah. So, you know, there's at least outside of the core crafts odds, I think what I'm saying is, it would be a shame if they only did like the four or five core craft worlds when there's so much in the Eldari lore to expand on and represent in detachments.
Yeah, the Eldar book needs 8 detachments like the Chaos book does. So please let this be a trend that continues, I think.
Well, and I think that what we've seen previously, especially things like, I don't know, like the Space Marine book, it's like, this is the White Scars detachment, but it's not the White Scars detachment. It's the Bike detachment. And for Eldari, it's just the same. It's like, this is the Aspect Warrior detachment, which is kind of like the Beltan one. But do you know what? Like the old kind of Ulthway Codex, you know, during the kind of Arateria campaign, you could have like an avatar with a sort of attached kind of court of seers and stuff. Like, I don't know, there's so much you can do, so much you can do. Yeah, anyway, getting excited about Eldari, and we're here to talk about
well that's on the horizon, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Eldari were actually on the list of things, you know. I made a big fuss about it last year, but like, right, I'm gonna do an Eldari army, and they were on the list of like potential armies, not because I've got so many projects on the go, and I'm finding it really difficult to kind of focus my hobby output at the moment because I've got so many ideas. And Eldari were on the potential list for the shop, but just talking about them now, I'm like, no, it would be really cool to do. Buy more. Oh, dangerous. Anyway, let's stop talking about Warhammer before I go and buy some more toys. Listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, then let us know what you think of it, or let us know what your favorite detachment is, and what you're looking forward to running this new book. And join us next time for potentially some heresy chat with Quipster, or if we're lucky enough to see more releases, we might do another product review. But join us next time for some more 40k goodness. Until next time, keep calm and crusade on.